Hey, everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Today, we're here together with Stevie and Suzanne Hendricks. They are sort of digital marketing specialists, maybe Instagram influencers is the way to think about it. They have a brand new book. It's called A Real Good Life. We talked to them about their life, about their marriage. We talked about some of the themes that are present in the book. It's actually quite clever. I really enjoy exploring those with these guys. They're a cool couple. They're pretty grounded, and it was refreshing to see them talk about how they move through the world, how they do parenting. They're a lot more like you and me than you might expect. We really enjoy talking with them. I think you should check out their book, A Real Good Life. And also wanted to say happy Thanksgiving. Nothing happens at Marriage Therapy Radio unless people are listening. That's you. And I always just want to emphasize how grateful I am that you are still paying attention to what we've got going on. I hope you'll continue to support the podcast by supporting our sponsors and by, you know, providing our 5-star reviews if you haven't done that yet over at Apple Podcasts. But mostly, I just wanted to say again, we really appreciate you. Thank you for giving us a reason to get up on Thursdays and explore some of this stuff with you. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around. Okay, so it's freezing in Austin. You were telling us that we can get back to
What does freezing mean to you?
Yeah.
Is it 45 degrees?
Well, yeah. I mean,
actually, you might be right.
Let's check. It was 45 degrees. I think freezing to us is 45 degrees, but that's not the rest of the country. We are.
No. I wish I could show you the picture. I was in Austin last weekend and I went for a run and it was really humid because we had all the downpours, right? Yeah. And I was 1 mile into my run. My face was beet red. I was drenched in sweat. And I literally decided at that moment, no triathlons will be happening in Texas from here on out. That I will not be doing that because it was bonkers.
No, it's yeah. Austin, it's beautiful, the landscape and everything, but it's been so hot, abnormally hot this year that forget about it. I'm on the stationary bike or the treadmill indoors.
Yeah.
One day we went from 80 degrees to 40. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on in the world, man?
Are you on your Peloton or are you on a stationary bike?
Oh, you know, the Peloton.
She can't.
Right on.
I had to take my Alex Toussaint, the trainer on that in that class.
It's
intense. But I have a funny confession. I can kill it and crush it on a stationary bike, but I can't actually, guys, ride a bike.
She's a cycle queen. You can't ride a bike. It's bizarre.
That's amazing.
Little weird quirks about me like that where you're like, you're 34 training, years old.
You're training for the day that you actually ride a bike. You're just going to.
But wait, can you ride a bike? And I'm not talking about training on a bike. Can you go on a beach cruiser and just.
A beach cruiser would be hard.
I need
beach cruiser.
You know what? It's like I want
not to, on the beach, on the boardwalk, where you just
She should learn on a beach cruiser. The wheels are this thick.
Well,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm wondering. It's I just need to get on one, I think. And since I've been top of my class on Peloton, I do this, you guys. How hard could it be? But also, I want my little kids to my 5-year-old, she's just learning. I'm basically, hey girl, mommy's also learning with you. So if I panic and freak out, I think I need to do this quietly somewhere in a corner in our driveway so they don't see me so that I can figure it out.
Do they make adult striders so your 5-year-old and you can both have striders where there's no actual pedals?
I literally thought this. I was like, okay, we're going to get a strider for our 4-year-old and then we're going to Zahn her bike with the training wheels and take the wheels off and take the pedals.
Perfect.
Off.
Wow.
So she can take his bike, take it strider.
I just never learned growing up. That was one of the things I think. In childhood, that my parents just kind of, they don't need to know how to ride a bike. So,
nope.
My other siblings, though, they learned later on.
Seen anyone in your family on a bike.
They all just got on a bike one day and they did it. And I was like, nah, I'm good. And I stayed inside the house.
Oh, she missed the opportunity.
I did. But I tried.
We've been to the beach
time.
A lot.
I know.
And you will never see Suzanne.
But hey, I'm changed now. Every time I was going to learn how to do something like that, I would get pregnant and I'm like, well, I can't learn now.
Is weird.
I don't want to.
Every time I learned how to ride a bike, I got pregnant.
I think it's I was just about to try. And you're like,
it's almost like when I get that excitement to try that. And I also don't know how to swim. It's pretty you guys, now that I'm done having kids,
You know who else is not doing any triathlons in Texas? Is,
this girl.
Is on.
And that girl. That's right.
The therapy on how Saz needs to get it together and go back to her childhood into the vault.
Yeah.
And learn how to do some things.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I have so many questions.
This. We have to introduce this couple.
I got you.
Okay, okay.
So first of all, Stevie, do you ride the Peloton?
Once in a while.
Okay. I ride the Peloton like a crazy person. It's right there.
It's right here too.
And I have a strong theory about like finding out who people ride with. You're like, I ride with Alex. I think I know a lot about you now that you've told me that you ride with Alex.
I see that.
So
you know, I like to like scream at. I like the boot camp style.
Yeah. I can't ride with Alex.
Is it like a personality test where you're kind of like, you choose, it's like a Cosmo test where like based on the Peloton instructor, it'll tell you about your personality.
Totally. Yeah. I can't ride with Alex because I don't take instruction from men, and I definitely don't take instruction from men who are like bossing me around. And that's his jam. He's like, yeah, do this.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I think I'm with you there. I don't like that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So who do you ride with?
No. Yeah. But like I've done it a few times and I'm like.
You do like the Oregon rides where you're just like going through the woods.
Yeah. Everyone leave
me alone. That's him. He just wants the scenic, you know, the screen.
Yeah. It's like, I get that.
Yeah.
And I've done Colorado. The in-person cycle classes too. And these ladies are yelling at you. And I'm just like, I don't need
to be. Not your jam.
My pace is good. Chill.
It motivates me though to get my butt off the bike and like let's go, you know. But you have to be in the mood for that because it can be intense at like 7 a.m. you know.
Yeah, after a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to go ahead and get to the stuff. And I have a question because you guys, you are influencers. That's your thing. Or do you have another day? Like when you tell people
title,
what you do, like, what do you
creators.
Do? Yeah. What is it that, what's your jam?
Yeah. That
is there a title for that?
That's correct. You know, it's called influencer.
We tell the people at customs at the airport that we work in digital marketing because I mean, there's a line of people. How do you unpack what it is?
Yeah.
Influencer, digital creator.
I feel like it could be one of the silliest titles that like was ever landed on. I'm just like,
Well, I have a fascination. I want to know about it, but here's what I really want to know. I've been looking at your stuff over the last couple of weeks and months and just kind of like, oh, here's what these guys, and it looks great. It's amazing. It looks fantastic. Like you guys have a shtick that is really lovely and is attractive, and you can't ride a bike. Like, do you do the part where do you show people like you falling off a bike and stuff? Like how does,
oh, I have content. Yes, I have.
I tried 12 years ago.
Yes. And what were those things that, remember those little skateboard things that John tried to teach me how to ride in our backyard?
Oh, is it on like it's a balance board? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I remember those things where like you just move and it moves with you. I tried learning one of those. It was a nightmare. And then I had, in college, we studied radio, TV, film. And so they thought it'd be funny to create a segment around like, 21-year-old learns how to ride a bike in one of the cabins to teach you on this huge man bike. And it was not a pretty sight.
What would actually benefit you is if there was an adult coordination class.
Yeah.
Is it? Here's what's interesting. I think Cezanne is actually pretty athletic.
Like, you do.
Yeah, I do. I've seen you do box jumps. And I was like, dang. I was
he
like,
always boosts me I was on like, the box jumps.
Jump.
That was one time.
But Saz, you can like fly through the air. And I was like, wow. I was like, so she's athletic, but she's not
coordinated.
See, we can work with this. I think you need to go to Amari's like toddler gym class and like do the balance beam. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, take it back.
34-year-old on a child's balance beam.
Fine motor skill.
Yep.
That's what I'm like, are we born with coordination or is that something that can be taught? And it's like, if it's, I always thought you're born with it. Cause like my boy over here, he can dance. Like he's got the rhythm. I'm like, where did you learn that?
I can't.
That's different.
I am quite coordinated.
He's very coordinated. Like if you try to get me to the Cupid shuffle, like at wedding, everyone's in sync. I'm like, wait, can we slow
this
down?
That's not a test of being coordinated, dear.
Like anything choreographed where they're like, all right, left foot, right foot, now back. Like inside of I can keep up. But at the same time, when they're like, okay, and now to the right, to the left, I almost fall off because I'm like, wait, my brain is not processing this as fast as you're saying it. So I don't know, y'all. I think I definitely should take a class on coordination. I think that could help me, not naturally, you know.
Woo, it is starting to cool off outside. It's actually getting harder and harder for me to motivate myself to go for these dog walks. However, I think I found the ticket. So rather than listening to my normal podcast or to an audiobook, I am tapping back into Dipsy. Dipsy is just for me. It is erotic short stories that are written for women by women. And it's just allowing me to kind of spice up my morning, my afternoon. I know that my husband's really enjoying it because it's allowing me to just sort of explore my fantasies, relax and unwind. And it's putting me into that erotic mindset so that I'm not surprised when he comes up from behind and wants to give me a back massage, wink, wink, nod, nod. I would love for all of you to be able to spice up your dog walks or maybe your commutes or your drop-offs by being able to tap into Dipsy as well. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/MTR. That's 30 days of full access for free. When you go to Dipsy, it's spelled D-I-P-S-E-A stories.com/MTR. dipsystories.com/MTR.
Hey gang, it's me, Zach, coming at you. And I'm coming at you on behalf of myself and my wife, Rebecca, who was delighted that I got to talk about Paired again on the podcast. We've been using this app to connect because every day we get different questions and quizzes and challenges to kind of figure out, like, maybe who knows the other one better. Cool discussions, questions about, you know, how we met or favorite memories from the early time. We had a question about whether or not we would still be friends with the people in our bridal party. And we sat around our table and talked about how relationships have changed for us since we have gotten married. We've been together 26 years, and I still think this app is really cool. It's called Paired, and it's a relationship app for couples. And you and your partner download it together. They pair you. That's why it's called Paired. And then again, it gives you questions, quizzes, you have fun games. You get reminders throughout the day. So, like, if you answer a question, your partner gets a reminder if they haven't answered it, but you actually don't get to see either person's answer until you've both answered. It's prompted some simple and funny and just kind of relaxing conversations for us to have. So I really want to encourage you to check it out. Whether you're on a few dates or been together for a really long time, this will help you lighten the mood and have fun. So head to paired.com/MTR. And that's kind of the important part, to go to the website and use the MTR code that helps support the podcast. But if you go to paired.com/MTR, you'll get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. So just, again, head over to paired, paired.com/MTR and sign up today to connect with your partner every day using Paired. A happier relationship starts here.
Hold on. Okay. I need to ask, because I want to know, first of all, like, can you tell us how the two of you sort of fell in love and became this couple that the two of you are? I mean, we're couples therapists, but I am curious about, like, the beginnings of
the origin story.
The origin story. Exactly.
The Hendrixes.
Like, what were you attracted to?
Oh, Lord. Started with me. Like, we were students at University of North Texas. And we both volunteered, but also
it was required.
Like, no.
Voluntold. You were voluntold.
Yeah.
Required.
Yeah. My thing was required to get credit as producer credit, whatever.
So the way that it works is we had our own TV station, college news.
Uh-huh.
It was broadcast live on local television.
Why don't you go ahead and say it?
Hold on. We'll get there. I'm going to say
yeah.
Probably at any time, somewhere between like 10 to 12 viewers.
crushing it, knocking it out of the park.
No, but I'm like, dude, who is watching the local college newscast?
Anyways,
we were serious about this, y'all. This was our like training, and like you had to audition to be like an anchor or like a reporter, and it was more serious. So Kazan and I both auditioned. We were in the local newscast. We were both cast as anchors. So we thought we were cool. We were like, hey, we're like the upper, like we're the head anchors of the show.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie.
And yeah. My friend. Yeah, exactly. This is exactly how it was. My friend was the news director. So he got to cast everyone and be in charge of like news. So of course.
So you're a Nepo baby, basically.
That I thought she was beautiful. So he was like, my man, I got you. She's going to be hosting with you on Thursday night.
And I was little like, did I know.
So anyways, we're in like the sound booth, you know, starting to get to know Cezanne. We're kind of becoming friends-ish. We work together.
Were you dating other people at the time? Let's be honest. No. Or were you single?
I had just gotten out of a
I was single. I was mingling, but I was single.
Uh-huh. You know, got it. Yeah. We all mingled in college. I know what you mean.
I was mingling. I was like, I out there. What's going on?
And I had just gotten out of a relationship. So I was in a headspace where I was like, I just do not have time to waste. Got to focus on my career.
That's the best headspace. That's the best place to enter a relationship in.
I just remember I was like, this girl's like, she's really pretty. She probably is not going to like me. We'll see what happens. And we're in the sound booth where we're doing our intros for the stingers or whatever for the news. Like tonight, like wait to see what happens after this.
Puppy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, when you tonight we're talking about a whole you know, so we're and I'm in there and I just like turned to her and I was like, so what kind of guys are you into?
And this is a small room.
Did you say it in that voice?
This is the way of like, oh,
totally.
Seeing what's behind, like, let's open the door. She goes, oh, yeah. Like dark, exotic, you know? And I was like,
yeah.
Womp womp, yeah. White boy.
Okay, meanwhile, my side is, I totally thought he was cute and charming and funny by this stage in our friendship. But in person, after coming out of the relationship that I was in, I was going to put all my cards out there. And in fact, I was actually a hot mess. And I had a lot of like internal baggage and stuff that clearly needed to be worked on that I was tucking aside. So I was kind of mindset of like, I just don't have time for entertaining this. So like, I kind of bluffed to him when I was like basically describing the opposite of him because I was like, don't get any ideas in my head is what I was thinking.
Exotic.
But in my mind, but really in my mind, I thought, oh my gosh, did he ask me? Like, it's like, you know, I go off and I'm thinking, like, did he ask me like what kind of guys? I'm like,
yeah.
He thinks I'm cute. But then the other side of my mind too, in that time of my life was also understanding that, well, he wouldn't really fit the part. Meaning I come from a Kurdish Middle Eastern background. And I knew that like my family would never accept me being with somebody who was not like of the same background. So I
could you mingle though? Like if you were going to entertain, would you mingle or were you looking for someone you could bring home to your parents and like lock down into baby making?
Well, my whole life, it was never like I could never bring guys around, period. Yeah. I could never really promote or talk about like I was dating guys. So I didn't date any guys. The one relationship that I was in before him, that lasted for like 6 years. And he was with a Kurdish guy. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a guy that I could, you know, possibly bring into the family. Well, that relationship turned sour real quick. And then I was like, okay, well then where are any other Kurdish guys? Like, I don't even think Kurdish is for me anymore then. So I kind of had this mindset. I was like, I'm just going to focus on me, do me, focus on my career. And then when I was getting to know Stevie, in my mind, I thought, well, I could probably like mingle getting to know him. But like in my mind, I knew this could only go so far because like I can never like be disowned from my family. Mm-hmm. Family's everything, you know? And so while it was fun and cute and charming and I had never really dated really before, I was totally open to it. But like I early on straight up told him like, just so you know, like we can't fall in love, you know, I was so like, sassy.
Oh my gosh. I was like, there's no pressure.
And then Steve was like,
wow. So I have to overcome extreme odds to win your hand, but also there's no pressure to do so. I was like, this is a good recipe for me.
I remember.
This is sounds good.
Odds are stacked against me. And also there's no pressure. I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
But of course I have a question, which is
story went after that. So
have you been disowned?
Oh, that's a good question.
So spoiler alert. Yeah. We got married. And what happened was.
Because we kind of know what happens next, right? Like, so now I want to know if you still get to be in your family.
So yes, we got married in 2015, but that was a really hard season of life because my parents, I had told them, me and Stevie were dating in secrecy for 3 years before I actually came out and told him about him. And so we were at a place in our relationship where we knew.
Mom, Dad, I'm coming out as straight.
Yep.
and dating.
And then
a white boy.
A man.
Kind of like, yeah, they were like, you know where we stand on this. Like, we can't accept this. And it was like, they weren't seeing like all of these amazing things that I wanted to share with them about this guy. It was more than just like what he looked like and his background, like, like, are we living in the 1800s? Like, I really tried to like tell my parents, like, no, he's like, honestly, such an amazing man. He has a great family. Like, he is like, I know, you know, they just, it was really hard for them to accept that it was the first one out of 5 siblings to get married. So for my parents, I was that first one that like had to break them in a sense into letting go of your kid. They're getting married, but then also not being right, fitting that mold of that expectation they had for their kid. So they come to our wedding. It was a very small wedding that we ended up, by the grace of God, being able to pay for. And then shortly after that, my mom started coming around like pretty quickly in her side of the family, but it took longer for my dad. And so that time, I guess, needed to happen. And it was like, it was almost like when I finally came out and told him the truth about me dating Stevie and like I wanted to be with him, it was like, now, because we're walking in truth, the healing process can truly begin, as hard as it was. And so then the day that my dad met Stevie, and now I'm really fast forwarding the story, but like the day that my dad got to meet him, was, it was like 2 years after we had already been married.
Almost three.
The day that my dad met Stevie is the same day that he met my first daughter, who was 8 months old. So like, imagine that day, like he's meeting my 8 month old, his first grandchild for the first time, as well as my husband. And it was just this, it was really this beautiful reunion, and I wouldn't change it any other way. I mean, yes, I would have loved for it to just be easy, but what we've noticed about like, when we talk about good life, is like, you kind of have to go through the hard to get to the good. And for us, we experienced a lot of hard in the beginning, and now almost 10 years now married, we're seeing how it's just getting sweeter and sweeter. It's not getting easier. Like, we have more kids, more obstacles. But in terms of like that seed in our relationship early on, it had to be cultivated in the soil that I feel like would really force us to roll up our sleeves and get in there and get dirty in the nitty gritty and the details of what the reality was. And now I feel like we're really enjoying the fruits of going through those.
It's kind of like what they say about like wine. You know, my friends are wine enthusiasts, and he's telling me all about how actually when there's a drought, it produces finer wine because you have to dig deeper, you know, to pull out the nutrients to grow the grapes. So they're actually, it's usually a richer, more interesting grape that's produced. And so I feel like that's kind of the beginning of our relationship, because there was just many times where we were just like, this is not gonna work. And is it worth it? Like, it just feels like a train wreck. And for some reason, I think we're both stubborn enough. We're both thick-headed enough to make it work, you know? Like, we thrive in persevering through chaos, it seems like. And so by the time that Susanna and I got to the altar, it felt like it was then that we actually were allowed to have butterflies in a sense. Whereas through that, when they're dating, for us, it was like, oh my gosh, like, we did this. Our relationship felt like it was forged in the fire. And so every step that Susanna took coming down the aisle was just a massive victory. And so by the time we said, I do, you know, it was just, you know, we were like, dude, we are a team, you know? So yeah, we've had many, you know, difficulties in seasons in marriage, just like everybody else, but there's just this there's a rock solid foundation. I feel like that was during our date.
Yeah, we like to ask couples when we're doing a workshop, like, especially if you've been together for almost 10 years married, what is something that you wish you knew that you know now, like early on in your relationship? What is it that you know that you feel like you've kind of like mastered, or you've got solid, that you wish you could have gifted 10 years ago to your relationship?
I think Susanna and I, like, we got married. We're so focused on just our growth in, like, you know, the professional sense. And so just so focused on that. I think the biggest thing that I would say is like, y'all just take your time, you know, like take time. And I mean that like in a daily sense of where's the fire? You know what I mean? It's like, guys, relax, like breathe, take your time. The reason that you're probably fighting is because of stress and pressure that has to do with work. It has nothing to do with like your actual relationship. So it's like, y'all, just like take your time and enjoy, you know? I would say that's a big thing that I don't even know if we've mastered it, but we're super aware of now that we're like, we have to protect you know, our peace and our family. And it's like, what's worth it at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Like I'll have people that call me and they're frustrated about something. And maybe this is something that I guess I've learned through experience. And it's like my mom, I love my mom. She's a great person. She loves to like host for Thanksgiving. It's a huge deal for her every year. But like call me again this year. And it's like, you wouldn't believe it. She's like, the backyard is being, you know, it's being like renovated. She's like, the railing isn't coming in time. Like, I am beside myself. She's like, this is a disaster. This is a catastrophe. And I'm like, I'm not trying to dog on my mom, but I was like, mom, like, really, like, I get it. You shouldn't be frustrated. You're mad. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, but I was like, but
if that's the worst thing that she has, like, phew,
I was like,
the railing,
our house, you know, is not a shack. I was like, we can host, you know, yeah. She's like, you don't understand, you know, she's like, it's just that I'm like, mom, like, it's not worth this grief, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
mad, like be mad for a couple days, get over it. I was like, cause it's, and so I feel like that's what we've learned in our relationship. It's like, there's just things that aren't worth it. And like in between us, like between Susanna, sometimes it's just a matter of like, I just don't want to have beef. I just don't want to have grief. I don't want to fuck.
Right.
Like, I just, yeah. And I don't care. And like, what do you want to do?
And I think we've seen like the more like, we've grown professionally, but even in our personal life, like having more kids and more responsibilities and more schedules and routines to keep up with, it's so easy to put your relationship just unintentionally on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, are we just passing each other by? Like, we haven't checked in with each other to ask, like, hey, are you good? Or how are you? And I think Stevie and I have gone to a place now in our marriage where it's almost like feels a little bit intuitive when you can almost sense when your spouse or your partner is having one of those days in life where they've just got maybe like 2%, you know, like how you talk about giving, it should be 50-50, but like there's days where I'm like 2% and like he's at like 40%. And it's like, we kind of balance that out and we're like, okay, cause you got more in you right now. Like, can you come help pick me up? And like,
but you're still only at 42%.
Yeah.
Oh, don't call me out on my math, you guys. But like,
well, but no, I think there's something about that, right? Like, even if you're at 2%, that doesn't mean the other person's going to be at 98.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's something I would love to tell. Going back to like 9 years ago when we started this relationship, there's going to be days where sometimes one of you may need to like help the other, like pick the other person up and like, whether that means sacrificing maybe like a part of your day to give that time to your partner. Like Stevie was so great yesterday. He knows I've had a week from hell with like trying to train a baby and trying to, you know, do all the things for like our book that just launched and all. It's been like tagging each other in and out, like school,
right,
and all that. And so he was like, he got a babysitter. He's like, we're going to go have a day date. So,
yes.
And we had lunch for an hour, maybe hour and a half. But
what a luxury.
You know, it really was.
When you're a parent, yeah, it makes sense.
So that really blessed me. I was like, oh, I didn't even know. I didn't even realize I needed that. And so that's great that like we can pick each other up, but also know when the other person has like that hole that needs to be filled. Yeah. And it's such a blessing. It's not just about self, but like looking at your other partner and saying, what do they need?
Well, I think Susanna and I, what we struggle with is we struggle with giving ourselves rest and then creating that for the other person, you know, because we're both busybodies. Like we try and do, we're doers, you know? So it's not like, oh, you need to get up and go. That's not our problem. Our problem is actually we should actually just push things aside in our schedule and have lunch together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, why can't we do that?
Give ourselves the permission.
And you do that, you do something like that. And you're like, man, I really needed that. I really needed that rest in my day to go and talk to you and be with you and not really have to think about anything else. And so.
And then I came home yesterday and I wasn't like snapping at my kids or like, you know, I was.
You got filled up.
I was like, do you guys want to go sit on like the little rocking? We have like a rocking chair thing upstairs on our porch. I said, do you guys want to go sit on that? I haven't sat there in a while. And so we went on the bench upstairs on the porch and me with my three kids, we just sat there and I was looking out. Wow, today's such a great day and it's only 3 o'clock. And I'm like, whoa, I think it's because I like left and went and had and came back. So it was like filling up my tank like you would if you go to a gas station to fill up your car with gas. It felt like that. It felt refueled and recharged. And it's all thanks to him for seeing in my eyes that I needed that, because I wouldn't have done it.
Well, I was thinking right before we went to lunch, I was like, this is stupid. And I was like, why did I do this? Bad idea. It's like, she's probably actually stressed because it's going to make her day stack up in a weird way. And I was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. We got to lunch. She's like, I love this. And I was like, I'm good. Well, I'm glad.
I know.
So awesome. Rest is a big theme, and it's one of the major themes in your book. You have a couple others, like what, reflection, maybe focus, and gathering. Is that right? So what can you tell us about reflection or focus, or what, like, tell us a little bit about how those things kind of play out for you in real life.
Yeah. I think when we were talking about, you know, writing this book, it all kind of came from the podcast that we had for about 4 years, which is called The Good Life. And it was really all about asking people, you know, what does it mean, you know, in your mind, to live a good life? What does that look like? Because I think we sold this idea of like the good life, you know, and Suzanne and I bought into that. We moved to LA and we thought the good life looks like me succeeding and doing all of these things. And it's more of like, these are all my accolades. Like, that's the good life, the house, the car, marriage, everything. And moving back home to Texas, you know, and slowing down our pace of living, kind of like we were talking about, and finding rest and finding joy in the simple moment, we realized like there's a good life that can be had, that can be cultivated, that can be grown and built. It's actually a life that's simpler than we thought. You know what I mean? It's not as complex, and it's not something that's like out there. You know, it's not these kids who move from a small town to go to the big city. That's not the good life. The good life is actually like right in front of you. It's within your grasp. It's a garden that's in your backyard. It's not somebody else's garden. It's the garden that you've been given, one you inherited, that's for you to like work on and to grow. And so when we looked at like talking about like a real life, well, we were like, well, this a good life is for one good day at a time. And so we kind of broke the day down into those sections, you know what I mean? Which is like reflect, gather, rest. And so when we thought about those parts of the day, we're like, well, these are the essential ingredients, you know, that we see in our life that really add up to, you know, a good day. And so even just starting, you know, with reflect, it's like Suzanne and I have realized it's so funny. Like, as the book was approaching, it felt like we were under so much stress and pressure with having a newborn, you know, Suzanne, even more pressure, launching this book. You know, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. This is our biggest project yet. And it felt like so many things were going wrong. You know, it just felt like, we're like, why are we just having so many issues? We worked so hard for years. You know, is there something wrong with us? Like, what did we do? You know? And you start asking all these questions, but really you're just thinking about like self. You're just thinking about, where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? And so your eyes are really just focused on you and your problems. And so you kind of become selfish in a way, because you're not grateful. You know, you're not looking out. You're not looking around. And so Suzanne and I were like, even talking about this right before the book came out, we're like, man, changing your focus, you know, and setting your eyes on the good and looking for the good in your life produces such a difference. But really that time, we find that time in the morning oftentimes when our head is clear, you know what I mean, to set our eyes on the things that are good and reflect on the good in our life. And so we, you know, reflect is one, focus is another. You know, we're talking about how, like, when you
can I pause before you go to focus, because I'm curious, like, do you have a ritual that the two of you do together or that you do individually that allows you that time to reflect?
I'm going to say something right now. In this season of our life, it is hard, y'all. We have to fight.
I bet.
We have to fight. Like,
well, and that's something that we talked about in the book, was that, like, you have to really audit your life in the season that you are in, like, get real with yourself. Right. So for me, if I use myself as an example, the reality is when I'm in the postpartum era, you better believe, like, I'm not getting up at my 6 a.m. to have my hour of quiet time before the kids wake up. But like, I'm just trying to survive, and I'm trying to, you know, get as much sleep as I can. But in a season where, let's say, I'm not in that postpartum, what I love to do is, like, there's some intentional things that you do to set the tone for a winning day. And so we talk about what we call it, a gaze strategy, which is about intentionally seeking and kind of reflecting, right, on, like, what is this day? Like, ideally, what would you love this day to look like? Now, granted, five things are probably going to go right and a million things may go wrong. But what it's doing is it's saying, like, no matter what, I'm going to control the things that I can in my day. So for me, what that looks like on a happy season of my life when I'm not getting with the postpartum life is I love to get up an hour before my kids get up to really just have that time for myself. So for me, that morning routine, it is really important when we look at our routines. It's very simple too. Studies have shown, like, if you wake up in the morning and you make your bed first thing, with picking up and grabbing your phone, like, there is so much power in that. And it's this full circle experience that happens when you come back to your bed at the end of a long that creates this sense of completion. And so I always make my bed no matter what. Okay. And I really love having my time. For me in this, in that season, it, right before I had Oliver, and I really miss it, is, you know, I love to make myself a warm drink, invite my golden retriever. She can come out with me, nobody else, but just my golden. And I love to get in the word. For me, I love reading my devotional. I love just having that time to reflect. Our house is like covered, like we're, we have tons of windows everywhere. So like being able to look out and just like enjoy that peace and quiet. And then there's mornings where it doesn't go as I plan. We talk about that. We talk about how things can unintentionally happen, but you can still have a good day with the right mindset. So those are some of like the little things that I like to do to set that tone. And then working out is a big one for me too. So today it looks like I have a quick 20-minute Peloton ride while baby's napping. I just love to do those little things for myself.
Do some box jumps instead.
Well, after you have kids, I will say it's kind of hard. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if I don't empty out my bladder, let's just be real. But it's like, you know, those little things, it's just makes such a difference for me, and it allows me to show up for my kids. So I encourage women, especially moms right now, where I've seen on my, in my community platforms, a lot of women have this guilt and this shame that comes over them when they feel like they have to leave their children to go do something for themselves. And I think that we can debunk that lie by showing, like, no, it's very necessary. Because if you can show up for yourself, like, you will be able to show up for them. And kids just want to see their parents, like, happy and thriving. And so if your energy and your mood and your excitement around your kids is going to be elevated by doing those little things for yourself, I say do it. It's an investment in your good life.
Nice. Well, I'm with you. I think being realistic about the season of life that you're in and recognizing that, you know, you might have had time to reflect, but now that you have a newborn, that reflection might be out the window. But you can find small ways to integrate the reflection. If it's not an hour, it might be 2 minutes while you're in the shower shampooing or waiting for your conditioner to set in, whatever it might be.
Exactly.
Stevie, you were going on to focus. Tell me about focus.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, focus, I feel like there's so many people and good friends of mine that as the years have gone on, I'm seeing friends that have kind of just meandered, you know, their life. They've had no focus. They've had no vision for their life. And they're waking up now and they're calling me and they're like, yeah, I want to do this and I want to have this. And I'd like to see this in the next couple years of my life. You know? And they're finally starting to focus. They're starting to cast a vision for their life. I think that focus is such a big part of a good life because, I mean, you've got to be focused on like where you want to go, what you want to accomplish, and what you want to have. I think that the life is something that, you know, it's built brick by brick. It's something that's cultivated. And so that's why I think focus is such a key ingredient. You know, Cezanne and I think that's something that now as parents, we have to fight for. We have to fight for that focus time, you know?
Productive hours. They look a lot different these days, you know. We do what's called a power hour. And when our kids go to bed, like, we realize that the nighttime, it is this time of rest. And we talk about that too. Like that last, if we carved out the day into these four sections, you know, that final end of the day, that nighttime is usually for rest. But when focus midday, a huge chunk of that was because your kids having a meltdown and you couldn't get to cancel all the meetings. You didn't get to check your emails. I mean, we work for ourselves. So what we realized is, okay, we don't want to just lose our time. That's really in our good life and in our marriage. But what we do is we like, we'll set a timer. We'll say like, okay, the kids are going down. let's prepare our turn down service in the house with like the light changes in the house. We kind of get our candles on and then we play some like really cozy music because now it's quiet. And we play like, you know, a lot of like, not classical, but you know, like cinematic music that gets you going. And then we set our timer and for 1 hour, we just focus and we are checking our emails. We're getting back to some things that we didn't necessarily respond back to. You know, scheduling out some content that didn't get around to earlier in the day, submitting some last minute deadline. That 1 hour is like, whoa, we get so much done that like throughout the day, you just hope to like check in here and there with kids. So once that timer goes off, we're like, all right, no matter what, it's our time now. We need to spend time together. It's something to look forward to because we know when we set this 1 hour timer around like 8 o'clock, you know, by like 8:45, 9 o'clock, we get to have this final hour and a half to like watch a show or to talk, to be together. And just like, it's something you look forward to in that 1 hour of power hour. You're like, yay, there's going to be a reward after I get my homework done is what it feels like.
We have seen y'all when we've like, neglected that hour of like us time. Like it's not good. Like things are not working. We're like,
snappy with each other. And
sassy. We're like, we don't need a lot, but like, we just need a little bit of time every single day, like to be together. And that can literally just be us like watching a show, like cuddling on the couch, you know, but it's like, we have realized like that is like the key thing in our relationship. It's just having that little bit of time. So when the girls are like, not wanting to go to sleep, we're like, yo,
you need mom and dad to love each other tomorrow morning. So let us have some alone time.
Yes. And so like that, just that time of like intimacy is really important because I will say it is hard. It is hard to make time to, and I want to ask you guys this question because I feel like you guys are probably have a great, I don't know, just based off your experience, like for us, I don't know if this is silly or not, but in the season of life that we're in right now, I feel a little bit of like like Monica Geller, because I'm like, we have to like schedule our sexy. We have to schedule our sexy. Like we have to be like, hey, Wednesdays and Saturdays, like no matter what, like we've got to get in our sexy time. And I'm wondering, is that something that you guys have heard people, like, is that pretty common? Is that like, is that lame that we do that right now? Cause I wanted to like necessarily be that person that like has to schedule our little romance.
Well, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. It's time. Well, okay. I have to butt in on this one, Zach, because I know we're probably going to say different things, but the two of you, what a lot of people don't realize is that when you were dating, you did schedule sex time or sexy time. You knew intentionally, right? You're probably living in two separate places. And when you were getting together, you're going to go out on a date or you're going to meet up or whatever it might be, go have a beverage. But internally, you were like, I know that I'm going to see my partner. So I'm going to wear matching underwear. I'm going to zhuzh it up. I'm going to clean my car out. Like we knew that you were going to have that time together. But now with kiddos, there's no scheduled date, if you will. So you scheduling is actually no different from what it was like when you were dating, because you did have that preparation, that mindset that you're going to be able to see your partner, spend time with your partner, and that you might have some sexy time, some intimacy, if you will. So I'm a huge fan. We talk about scheduling all the time, whether you have kids or just busy jobs or whatever it might be. But I'm a huge fan of knowing when you're going to be intimate and intentional and showing up with the idea of being open to your partner and vulnerable and taking risks, which is all what I'm hoping folks do when they are intimate with one another.
Yeah, that's cool.
Zach, what was your thought?
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, I think the reality is we schedule things that are important to us.
Yeah.
You schedule mealtime, you schedule bedtime, you schedule power hour, you schedule workouts, you know, like that's just the reality. And so if people are like, oh, I wish sex was spontaneous, I'm like, that'd be great, but it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to schedule it, you know? So, and it's not that you're scheduling it and ripping away the spontaneity. You're you show up at the gym in your outfit ready to do your gym stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, if you were like, oh, spontaneously gym, you're like, I got my jeans and my flip flops. Like that's not going to work, you know? So I don't think there's any shame in, carving out time to prioritize things that are important to you.
Yeah.
I have two questions though, before we land this plane. Number one, when you guys cuddle up and watch a show, what are you watching? What show are you watching?
if we
should tell them the one that we were so obsessed with.
Well, there's been, You don't have to whisper.
There's no need
to
lie.
She's whispering. She's literally like mouthing it to Stevie. Like, you what? Come on, Stevie, you
I
say
don't know
it.
Why I was like, I'm going to say it at the same time. And 1, 2, 3. Have y'all heard of The Last Kingdom? That show is.
Oh, I love The Last Kingdom.
No.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Yeah.
Uhtred. That series. Yeah.
And Stevie, you're a brave man to let her watch Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Okay.
Yeah. There's one of my quirks. I like shows like that.
Let me say something.
Hold on. Is there a sexy character that I need to Google?
Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Yeah. He's like, it's like the man's man.
I like him.
Some Uhtred role playing.
Dude, Stevie, you have to do your Uhtred while you're explaining the show.
I'm not dialed. I'm like, my radio station isn't tuned in right now. I'll get in a second.
Son of Uhtred.
Like, literally, like, part. Last night I saw John Mayer and this girl like held up the sign and was like, hey, back to you. And John Mayer was like, oh my gosh. He's like, let me think. He starts playing the guitar, like some random song. He's like, this is my thinking song. He's like, because I can't remember. And then he's like, and you're like, oh my God. He's like, it's like, that's how I am right now with like accents. I can do it, but my mind is a little. But honestly, for real, what we watch the most of, if we can, is like, we love a good like British BBC.
Yes.
There you go.
Love, period.
Both of you?
Yeah.
I'll hang out with you guys.
I'm into it. Like,
I have never heard this before. It's always one partner that likes the British stuff.
No,
Down Abbey.
Look at me. They're like, this is what you like. I'm like, dude, I like it. It feels.
Yep. I would have had you at Yellowstone. Totally different genre.
You watch that.
And we watch UFC fights. We like that.
There's a spectrum here. Like, for real. Like, people are like, so you're watching Last Kingdom, but then you're watching Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Yellowstone and the UFC
but something
fight.
That he just will not watch. And now that he doesn't watch it with me, like, I don't need to watch it either. Because I'm like, I don't like watching stuff by myself. I was all into the Real Housewives series. He cannot get down to it. He's like, what? This is literally junk food for the soul. And I'm like, what? You're kind of right. And the more I watch, getting older, I'm like, these are grown women, like really like flipping tables. So it's kind of started stressing me out. So we like shows that make us feel, I feel like we honestly are 34, but actually like 78. On the inside. I love those classic period pieces. Like, I wish we lived in the 1800s sometimes.
I just want to say something about why I cannot watch reality TV. And maybe this is a function that I have. But like, if it's Real Housewives or it's like the Kardashians, I'll like be walking by the living room and maybe I'm like doing something and I'm like listening and I'm hearing these people talk and process.
Yeah.
And I get so angry. I'm like,
it's like a whole time.
These are real people. I was like, how, like, they actually like this way. They're operating and living. I'm like, and then people are watching this. I get.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the Kardashian show, the only time I really watched it was when I was like, in the beginning, breastfeeding with a newborn, you almost need something mindless to watch while you nurse versus getting into a show. And then after 15 minutes, you like, you know, so anytime I just would put on the Kardashians, I would just be like, okay, this is one of those shows where like, you're not really picking up anywhere where you left off. You can tune in at any point and just be like distracted. And so it just like would get me through
some
of my nursing.
Confessional, like, I just really think Courtney is not being scared.
Okay.
And I'm like, have some personality.
Oh gosh. Hey.
Killing me.
It's pretty entertaining when you
are. All right. My next question is we're about to run out of time. So I want to make sure I get this. Laura, I don't think have you ever heard me ask this question, but like we've asked you this question, which is what do you know now that you wish you knew then?
Yeah.
Right. What do you not know now that you wish you knew 5 years from now? Like, what is it that, what's next for you? What are you working on that feels like the next piece of like relationship mountain or hill that you got to clear a hurdle?
I'm so glad you asked this question. I feel like we kind of started talking about this yesterday at lunch. We actually had a great conversation yesterday where Suzanne and I, you know, when the book launched 3 weeks ago, it felt like, I don't feel like I'm good at like seeing my life from like a, you know, I live in the day to day, but I felt like I had this moment where I was like, we just crossed a major threshold, the biggest project we've ever done. We worked so hard on it. And now we don't have anything like a major project on our plate. Mm. And I was like, we've been living that way for like the last 11 years. Like we've always had something really big coming up. And Oliver, we're expecting will be our last. And so we're like, in every way, we're like, we don't have a major like milestone. And that felt incredible. It felt like this huge, just weight that I didn't even know was there, like lifted. And all I want to do right now is rest and think, you know, and I we're in the rest portion of our year. I feel like, you know, that's the portion of the year that we're in. I was like, we worked really hard. I said, I don't think that we need to strive or do anything the rest of this year. I think we need to tick our boxes. I said, but we really need to rest and think about like, what's next, but in the sense of like living. And so Cezanne and I had a great conversation yesterday, and we talked about one thing that I was thinking about this morning again is that we were talking about how there's so many things that we want to do. Like if you ask Cezanne right now, like, hey, what are some things that you would love to accomplish in your life? And they have nothing to do with work or business. She could rattle off like 10 things, and so could I. And so we're
talking. She wants to learn to ride a bike, swim,
do her first triathlon in Austin.
But like we all have these things. And I started thinking, I was like, I feel like we view our life. So many people, we view our life in terms of like, you know, what is your calling? And it's like this thing that we're always headed towards. But what I've realized too, is that I think that there's callings. And I think, you know, like for Cezanne, right? Maybe riding a bike and swimming is an example of something that's been on her plate, on her mind, something she wants to accomplish for herself. But when she thinks about that thing, there's shame associated because she's like, I should have done that by now. Or why don't I know how to do that? And there's frustration. Mm-hmm. And so it creates distance because she's like, I don't want to think about that because I haven't done it and I should have done it. When actually we should be thinking it as like, this thing is calling out to me, saying like, you can do this. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be shame associated. So if we don't have a victim mentality, we have like a, you know, an offensive mentality. We're like, I'm going to go and I'm going to do that thing. Like, I'm going to check that off my box because this is my life. And that's something that I want to do. And I want to say that like, that's calling out to me as something I want to accomplish. And so like, for me, one of those things is like, I love to play piano, but I don't know how to read music. And so I'm, when I'm 80, I'll probably look back and be like, why didn't I learn that when I was in my 30s? Like I still, still hope for me and still time to do that. And so I can't speak for both of us, you know, 100%, but Cezanne and I just yesterday in our conversation, we're like, 2024 is really going to be a year of like listening to those callings, those things that have been calling out to us and saying like, how do I want to grow this year as a person?
So 5 years from now, I would hope that I can say, girl, you can swim, you can ride a bike. Mm-hmm. You've been cultivating traditions for your little ones. Like we want to have,
that's awesome.
Start those traditions. So making, I want to have a scrapbook that I do every year with my kids. Those little things, like they're not these larger than life things, but they're the things in life that you look at and you're like, wow, this is what makes a good life, or like either our days and how we spend them. So I want to show my kids that like, you're never too old. We're too young to learn something new. So I'm going to do it, you guys. We're going to have a follow-up. So y'all do it. I'm going to do it.
5 years from now, we'll be like, okay, how's it going with the bike riding? Yeah.
And let's see those scrapbooks. I'm sure they're amazing. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I like that, Zach, of what do you think you're going to need to know in 5 years?
Yeah.
That's
Thanks, fun. Laura.
Yeah. I don't give them any compliments. So this is like the one a day.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we always end by saying we're going to land this plane, but we want to be sure to direct folks to where they can pick up your book, where they can find you on the regular. So where are the sites? What are we directing people to find you?
You can go to, stevieandcezanne.com. That's our, we have a Kindle e-commerce business, but also you can buy our book. By going to our website. You can follow us on social media at Cezanne, S-A-Z-A-N, and then Stevie _ Hendricks. You can, we posted about our book. We're so excited about it, y'all. And you can, our website's probably the best place.
Yeah.
Cool.
And thank you for having us on. This was such a fun, I feel like we're hanging out. This is what a fun hour of our day. Yeah. We get to escape and it feels like we're having
a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the kids doing right now? I'm just curious.
Two of them are napping and the other one's home from school today. So she's watching a movie on the couch.
Oh,
crazy. Yeah. So we're.
She's watching Seven Kingdoms.
Is that what I think so.
Start them young, you know?
And by the way, you are like blessed because you haven't seen the show. You're lucky.
You're gonna start it,
and then you can talk to Zach about it next week.
Yeah,
probably watch it all.
It's amazing.
Oh, all right, I've got something to dig my. I'll wait until I get sick and I can binge it.
Yes,
awesome, cool. Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast. We appreciate the two of you taking time out of your crazy schedule with your three kiddos. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate you guys.
Likewise, glad to guys. Be here. Yay! Thanks, and if you're in Austin again, I'll go for a run with you if it's not super hot.
Yep. That's, I know, right? Only if it's 45 degrees and under. Right. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Thank you to Stevie and Cezanne for joining us. They have an interesting story, very likable couple, and we have enjoyed chatting with them today. They also have a book. It's available now. It's A Real Good Life. You can check that out on their website. It's Stevie and Cezanne, Stevie, S-T-E-V-I-E, and Cezanne, S-A-Z-A-N.com. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.